There you go. I want to talk about gentleness this morning. And I want to speak on the topic of gentleness. Did that get your attention? Good. Just a spider. So a giant hairy spider. I've never held one in my hands. I don't think I could do it. But if for example, if there was a giant hairy spider in this container right here, and I were to open the lid, and if I were to pour this into your hands, and you wouldn't be scared at all, because it's actually just my charging cable, and it's, you know. but if I were to pour this into your hands, and it was a giant hairy spider here, can you hold this hairy spider? There it is. You'd be really gentle with that, right? Because you wouldn't want to get bit, right? You'd be super, super gentle with it. And whenever I watch, because I like watching like the nature dudes who like play with spiders and scorpions and snakes and creepy things, they're always super gentle with them. Why? Because they don't want to get bit. Gentleness can actually help us a lot of times. You know, when I'm petting the cat, right? There is now a cat that lives in my house. Yes. And when I know, right? And when I'm petting the cat, if I'm gentle, the cat's nice, purr, right? If I'm not so gentle, then... So you try to be gentle. And it works that way with people too. I love this verse from Proverbs. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Like it... Sometimes when people are ticked off and you answer them gently, you're just nice to them. It turns away that wrath. But a harsh word, you snap back when somebody's mean to you, right? A harsh word, it just stirs up the anger. You can give my spider back now. Thank you. You were really kind to it. It's not harmed in any way. That's not the last thing we'll look at today. So there's good reasons to be gentle. It does us good. Right, it keeps us out of trouble sometimes. But there's bigger reasons that I want to talk about the topic of gentleness this morning. And for the next three Sundays, like we're not in a series, we finished Genesis, and so for the next three Sundays, I'm just going to talk about various things. And why gentleness? Because God helped me see that I'm not always gentle. He confronted me after a conversation that I had a while back. I just realized, sometimes I'm the one who bites. And are you ever the one who bites, right? And God confronted me that I'm not always gentle. Did you know it's possible to be right, but say things in a way that isn't right? We can be careless in the way that we talk to others, in the way that we respond to others. And when we're careless, sometimes when you're not gentle, you get bit. But sometimes when we're careless, we do the damage. And we can do a lot of damage. And as God's people, we're called to be gentle. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians 5:23, it's in the list of fruits of the Spirit, right? Or the fruit of the Spirit. If God's Spirit lives in you, one of the ways that that shows up, it says in Galatians 5:23, one of the ways that God's Spirit shows up in your life is gentleness. And the word literally, that the word is meek. That's not a word we use in English a whole lot. We say gentleness. But it's meek, and we're going to look at what that word meek means. But there's a verse that I'd like to read today, and it's one that's simple. So both adults and kids can all say this and probably remember this. Okay, so adults and kids, and let me see if I can get my power turned on. I don't think I can forward this. So Nikita, can you forward me one slide? I don't have a lot of slides today, so I'm going to count on you to help me out. Can we read this together? Can you just read it with me? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. There it is. Let's read it again, just so we remember it. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. All right. So that is, now, incidentally, the word gentleness there in Philippians 4:5 is not the word for meek. It's actually a different word. And there's a couple of words that the Bible uses to say gentleness. This is a word that if you were to read this in different translations of the Bible, some of them translate this, let your reasonableness show up to everybody. Another one says, make sure you're so considerate that everybody notices that, right? In other words, you're gentle, you're reasonable, you're considerate. In other words, gentleness means it's not pushy. It's not pushy. It actually thinks about what the other person needs. It cares about how the other person feels. It wants to help, not to hurt. It wants what's good for them as much as what's good for you. That's what gentleness does. Now, to describe and help you understand gentleness a little bit, I've got some eggs right here. They are fresh. I just got them from Jasmine this morning. They might still be warm from the chickens. I don't know. But they were laid not that long ago. And what I'd like for you to do, what I'd like for you guys to do, and they're not hard-boiled. No, I'm not tossing. But I'm gonna hand an egg to you. And would you guys just pass the egg around, please? And when it gets to the back, I want it back because it's my breakfast tomorrow. So here's an egg. So it's a real egg. Go ahead and pass them around so that they get through. I want everybody to get a chance to touch the egg. And it's going to help you understand, because as you are passing this egg right now, who's got the egg right now? Hold it up. There it is. You're being careful, and I bet you're slowing yourself down a little bit. You're thinking about what you're doing. That's what gentleness looks like. You slow yourself down. You don't snap. You're careful. You think about your next move. That's gentleness. And you're going to have to be careful with my eggs and gentle with my eggs because I want them back. They're my breakfast. I also realize that if you don't like this sermon, you are now armed. And it did occur to me that I could get, you know, I might have somebody give these eggs back to me, but I might just as well, if I do badly this morning, get these eggs back at me. But that wouldn't be gentle, so you won't do that, I hope. But gentleness, and if you're writing anything down this morning, write this down. I'm going to give you two big things to write down. And one is this: I want to dispel the notion that gentleness is weakness. Gentleness is not weakness. Say that with me. Gentleness is not weakness. Everyone in this room is stronger than an egg. You are not being gentle with those eggs because you're so weak. You're being gentle because they're weak. You're being gentle because you want to be careful not to hurt something. You all, from the tiniest baby to the oldest adult, you all can break that egg instantly. And that's why you think about how to handle it. You move a little slower. And when you slow yourself down oh, thank you, there's half of my breakfast. And he was, did you see how gentle Alex was when he put that down? Right? Because we know that these are fragile. And so there's one. It'd be terrible if I broke it, right? You think about how to handle it. Oh, you've got another. Thanks, Abram. Way to go. Thank you. There's my eggs. And they're good. Jasmine's chickens give the best eggs, I tell you what. Anyway. You slow yourself down. You think about it a little more. You know you're not showing weakness when you are gentle. And what would it look like if when we talk to other people, we say, you know, this person matters to me, and this relationship that I'm in right here, the words that I'm about to share, I could do damage here. This relationship is breakable. Are relationships breakable? Yeah. They are. And I want to protect it so I can enjoy it for breakfast tomorrow. No. So I can enjoy that relationship tomorrow, right? Because relationships can be incredibly robust, but they can be incredibly fragile. And gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not weakness. All you have to do is watch a grown man handle a baby to see that gentleness is not weakness. Babies are not gentle. Babies are not gentle. They're just weak, right? I mean, let a baby grab hold of your hair. They're not gentle, right? Or one of the dads said, a baby with a sharp fingernail up your nostril. That's not, you know. Babies are not gentle, but they're weak, so we don't fear them, right? But a grown man handling a little child, that's gentleness. Not because the man is so weak, but because he's in control of the strength that he possesses, right? And gentleness is, not weakness, but gentleness is, you want to write it down, gentleness is strength under control. And God calls us to be gentle because he's gentle. We reflect him when we're gentle. Matthew 21, verse 5, As Jesus is entering Jerusalem, what was written about him was, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey." Now, most kings ride into town on a war horse. You know, if it were today, a king would show up, you know, on standing on the turret of a tank. Not Jesus. Not Jesus. He's gentle. I mean, the day will come when he will come to judge this world. Okay, and that's gonna look a little different. But when he showed up to win a people for himself, he was gentle. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Jesus himself, he says this to his followers. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus is gentle. He's not weak. And he's not afraid. But he knows how to handle the power that he's got. I noticed, by the way, something. When I studied gentleness this last week, it often shows up hand in hand with a good friend that gentleness has, and that is humility. Jesus said, "I'm gentle and humble in heart." Interesting, because that shows up numerous times in the New Testament. I won't give you all of those places, but a couple of them are here. In Ephesians 4:2, it says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." That's Ephesians 4:2. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Colossians 3:12. I mean, those character qualities show up hand in hand multiple times. And so gentleness is not weakness, but also gentleness is, this is the second big one I want you to write down. Gentleness is not fear. Gentleness is not fear. Jesus was afraid of no one. Gentleness is confidence paired with humility. Right? You see those two walk hand in hand, and Jesus himself said, "I am gentle and humble of heart." Gentleness is confidence with humility. Now, somebody might object, wait. Jesus wasn't always gentle. What about that time that he went up into the temple courts and they were buying and selling stuff there, and they shouldn't have been there because it was supposed to be a place of worship? And then he made a whip and cracked the whip and got animals out of the temple courts, and he turned over people's tables and sent their money sprawling. And some people depict that scene as Jesus absolutely losing it, right? Have you ever heard it described that way? And if you wanted to check it out, and I would encourage you, read it for yourself. You'll find a depiction of that scene in Matthew 21, in Mark 11, and in John 2. And in all three, you're not going to find a picture, a description of Jesus being in a rage and out of control. He's very thoughtful. He's taking steps as he plans them out. I mean, he takes the time to make a cord. He didn't just grab the nearest stick and start beating people. In fact, it doesn't say he laid a finger on anybody. It says he cracked a whip and he turned over some tables and he told people they had to get out. He never loses it. You don't hear him like popping off and swearing at people and calling them down. He doesn't do the standard things that you would expect of a person who is enraged. You actually don't see in those passages. He wasn't very nice, but he wasn't out of control. When Jesus entered the temple, I want to point this out to you. Jesus was actually defending someone else's glory, his father's. He said, "You guys are messing with somebody else's glory here, and you're stopping people from being able to pray and worship in this place," he said. So he actually wasn't losing it because he was mad about something that happened to him. He was standing up for others, for his father's glory and for the right of other people to worship. When we lose it, when we are not gentle, when we fly into a rage, we're defending ourselves. Our anger is not humble. It's self-centered. Most of the time, we don't handle our rage very well on our own because we're looking out for us. Gentleness is not fear, and it's not weakness. Gentleness is great strength under control, and it's confidence rooted in humility. But it's not just self-confidence. It's the confidence that comes from knowing that God is in control, which means that God is defending us, but also knowing that God is in control means I know I'm going to have to answer to him for what I say and do, okay? And that comes back to our verse, which is, here it is, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. Remember this, the Lord is near," which means he's standing with you, right? But it also means you're going to have to answer to him. So let your gentleness be evident to all. Bear in mind, God's here. And without understanding, without being under control, and without the confidence that God is there and the humility that comes of the confidence that God is in control, we do some different things that mess things up. First of all, we try to force our way with people. And it's funny, when people are pushy and harsh and brutal and out of control, oftentimes that's not rooted in confidence. It's rooted in fear and insecurity. When we become pushy and harsh and brutal and out of control, and when we're not gentle, what we try to do, we puff up, we get big. And people can get big in a lot of different ways. Sometimes people literally, they just get big and intimidating and try to, make you feel small. Sometimes people get big in their tone. They get loud. Sometimes they get big in their body language. And they use force to try to get what they want or make you pay for not having given them what they want. And when you try to get big with people, I know this is true in me. If I'm honest and if I stop myself in the moment, when I'm tempted to get big, and because I'm not big, I tend to get big with my words and with my tone. And when I'm tempted to get big, I don't think that God is very big. I think that it has to be me. So we force our way. That's what we do without strength under control, without confidence that's rooted in humility. The other way that people can act if they don't have that kind of confidence and if they're not convinced that their strength comes from God is they can fake gentleness by just being nice. Right? I want to tell you, Jesus was gentle, but he was not always nice. Can I tell you, niceness is all about looking good, but it's not always about being good. It's about trying to put the facade, the picture out there that I'm being good, and so I hope you're nice back to me, But you do business with people all the time who are nice because they're paid to be nice, but they might not be thinking nice thoughts about you at all, right? Being nice is often done for selfish reasons, so that I can get what I want out of you. We can fake niceness. And gentleness is not always nice. Sometimes we have to have hard conversations, don't we? As a parent, do you sometimes have to have a hard conversation with a child where they don't think you're very nice? You do. As a close friend, do you sometimes have to say hard things and be honest? It doesn't feel nice, but you can do it gently. You can do it gently. In fact, Proverbs 27:6, Nikita, would you forward to the next slide, please? Gentleness doesn't always mean nice. One click, please. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says this, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Sometimes people fake those kisses, and they're not helping you at all. But sometimes a friend gives that gentle wound that will actually, it's not just a cut, it's surgery to operate on a piece of you that needs some work, right? And that can be done with gentleness. In fact, it says right in Galatians 6:1. Next click, please. Galatians 6:1 says, Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, and I mean caught in a sin doesn't mean you catch them. It's more a picture, I think, of if somebody's caught up, like they're trapped in a net and they can't get out. If they're bound and caught in a sin, their freedom is threatened. You who are spiritual should restore him gently. Gently. It might not always mean being nice, but we can do it gently. And then sometimes I've got a third thing for you to think about here, and that is this. Without knowing strength that is under control, without having the confidence that is rooted in humility, knowing that God is there for you, sometimes we can fake gentleness to others and niceness to others because we're actually too afraid and we feel so weak. And we just don't want to get in trouble. We're trying to just keep everything smooth. But inside, we are not very gentle with ourselves. And I know that there have been times in my life, and I know plenty of people, that they can show what looks like gentleness or niceness on the outside, and inside they are being harsh and brutal. I had a friend, he said, we sometimes say things to ourselves that we would never dare say to another person.
you idiot.
Right? You ever say that? I've done that.
You're so worthless, people tell themselves. Nobody loves you, people tell yourselves.
Right?
You're so stupid. Did you do it again? And if you would talk to another person like that, they'd be crushed. You do it to yourself. You're crushed.
That's not gentleness. You know, you're supposed to show it to you, too. You don't always have to be nice to you. But God loves you. God loves you. And he wants you to treat people who he loves, who he made, with gentleness. That includes you. Thank you for saying amen. That's important.
Real gentleness is rooted in humility, not fear, and also not a low view of yourself.
Let's go back to that verse next. Click. Oh, you did already. Thanks, Nikita. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So you can be gentle. Why? Because God is strong. You can be gentle because God has been gentle with you.
Would you go to the next slide, please? I want you to see this. This is a passage about strength and gentleness. It'll amaze you. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock? That's a strong thing, by the way. Who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer. That's strength, right? That's speed. He set me on secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. That would be a hard bow to bend. I don't think that's a 40-pound bow, okay? My arms can bend a bow of bronze. God gives you strength and speed and big muscles. Big muscles. You have given me the shield of salvation. Your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. This is not about a wimpy God. If you read the rest of Psalm 18, this passage is about a fire-breathing, mountain-shaking, lightning bolt-flinging God. He is powerful. And he gives us speed and big muscles. But is that why David feels confident in this passage? Is that why he feels like he's someone great? No. Your gentleness has made me great. God uses all that power, that mountain-crushing power, carefully. So he doesn't smash us like eggs. He's not selfish. He loves us. He is gentle with us. He's gentle with us. God's gentleness is what can make you great. That just floors me to think about. But can I tell you, as we move to a close here today, there is somebody that God wasn't gentle with. And it was Jesus. He was not gentle with Jesus. Can you go to the next slide, please, Nikita? Because this passage told hundreds of years before Jesus arrived and lived a perfect life and was betrayed and crucified and died a criminal's death, though he had never committed any sin. This was written about him. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own, yet the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. God should be so harsh with me. God should be so brutal with all of us for the ways that we have rebelled against him, for the bad things that we have done. That's called sin. For all the ways that we've rebelled. And one day he will punish people's sin, the sins of people who do not turn to him, and it will be awful for them. But for the people who turn to Jesus and trust in him, forgiveness is possible. The Bible says that God took their sin, our sin, my sin, and your sin. He took them, their sins, and put them on Jesus, and then punished Jesus in their place. God let his own son, Jesus, be treated harshly and brutally and without any gentleness at all so that he could treat us gently, like broken people that he wanted to heal, So I want to invite you to respond in a couple of ways this morning. And by the way, kids, you've been really good today, hey? They've been good. I want to ask you, whether you're an adult or a child this morning, I want to invite you to respond in a couple of ways. Number one, if you've never done this, those sins that Jesus died for, that stuff that you've done, that bad stuff that you've done that you really should be punished and beat up for, will you confess those sins to Jesus and trust Him and know that Jesus died and was beat up for you? And will you ask God to forgive you, to come into your life and make you new? You can do that today. And then you can be right with God, forgiven. God wants to treat you gently. Isn't it wonderful to know? Because sometimes it's so scary to tell somebody that you've been bad, right? But with God, it's safe because He's already punished Jesus. He's already done it. So when you go to God and you tell Him, I've been bad, and I've had to do that many times, I've been bad, it's safe. Because He wants to forgive us. He wants to receive us. So confess, trust in Him, ask Him to forgive you. And secondly, ask God today to show you how you can be more careful, more gentle in the way that you treat others. Ask Him to show you. He will. He will, by His Holy Spirit, reveal to you in those moments when you're tempted to be harsh and brutal, to lash back, to put claws out, to do the bite, right? He'll show you. And then you can respond saying, hey, God is near, and so I'm going to let my gentleness be evident to all. Let's pray together. And if you want to this morning, confess and believe in Jesus and receive the forgiveness that God wants to give to you, and I want to invite you to pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you sent Jesus. Thank you that you were not gentle with Him. Thank you that you let Him be beaten. Thank you that you let Him bleed. Thank you that you let Him die so that my sins could be punished and that I could be forgiven. I believe in Jesus, and I invite you to come into my life and make me new. Forgive me for all that I've done. Forgive me for rebelling against you and trying to do things my way. And let me live for you from now and until forever. I pray this in Jesus' name. And would you all join me in praying in your hearts, Father, thank you that it is your gentleness that makes me great. I want to live out that greatness that only you can give. I don't want to claw and fight and bite to get it for myself. I want to receive what you have. Thank you that your gentleness makes me great. Let your strength give me confidence when I would normally be afraid. Let me be humble and careful with the strength that you give me. Let my words and my actions bring healing instead of wounds. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.